Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else as I try and navigate what this mental health is supposed to be. Now, today, I do want to round out the last couple of weeks of talking about the Commander Master stuff, and top it off by saying, please, for the love of whatever god you happen to pray to, just buy singles. I was just looking at prices, and the five-color sliver pre-con is currently pre-ordering for about $120, which is insane. And the others aren't doing much better. They're not quite that much, but just buy the singles you want. And if you can get a good deal on the pre-cons, maybe. But for the most part, I'm done talking about Commander Masters. It's just, that's an insane number for a pre-constructed deck. I get it's slivers and all this jazz, but still, that's just weird. It's just, it's bad, right? Now, something I do want to talk about is that MagicCon Barcelona was this weekend, and I've been seeing some of the people posting about it on Twitter or X or whatever the heck they're calling it nowadays. And it looks like fun, and I'm sorry I don't have the kind of funds to travel to something like that. Maybe someday when I'm a little more secure financially, I can make it out to more events like this. And yeah, that's been fun to live vicariously through, you know, Twitter or X or whatever the heck they're calling it now. I did send out a package this last couple of days ago over to the Commander Sealed people. So, in addition to what they're doing with the Commander Sealed charity tournament, the way I understand it is this year it's going to be more like a full con, and they're doing other stuff. One of those is an auction. So I went digging through some stuff I had, and I put together a package for them to include in the auction. They'll probably end up splitting them up in some way, but I did end up sending 3 Pride Across the Multiverse secret lairs, 2 Arcane secret lairs, 2 of the Space Beyond the Stars, and 3 totally spaced out, or no, it was 2 totally spaced out and 3 the space between our stars, or between the stars. And that's kind of everything that's been going down this week. So I don't really have a whole lot more I want to talk about. I'm still kind of avoiding the bigger magic scene at the moment. Not that I'm completely stepped away, I've just kind of been busy with other stuff. So that said, I think we'll draw this part to a close. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a change that I made. I'll see you in a minute.
Hey, I just want to take a minute to tell you about my Patreon. I know times are hard for everybody, and I know it isn't easy to shuffle around bills and stuff. Believe me, I know that. But if you would like to help support the podcast and me, you can find the links to my Patreon in my link tree, which is always put into the description of either the video or the audio, wherever you're listening to it. It would really mean the world to me. Honestly, I'm just struggling to make ends meet most weeks. But that's it. That's all. If you want to help, the links will be where you can find them.
And we're back. Now, anybody that's been following me for any little bit of time would know that I have a Yumori the Collector deck that is a Planeswalker control deck. It's one of the most not me decks that I have because I'm not a control player, but I wanted to prove to myself that I could build it and do what it wanted to do. But recently, I've been thinking, I want to change it up a little bit. because I keep seeing other things that are in other colors that I really want to do. And eventually, what happened was I got my hands on an Ichor Moon Gauntlet and thought, how can I make this deck Sultai? And finally, I have, like, some criteria for what Yumori does. In addition to dropping the cost of my Planeswalkers, it's also a good body to block with. And that was kind of where I was at. I needed my commander to be somebody that is good at blocking, but also has other effects. So I settled on Zexara the Exemplary. It's one, a black, a green, and a blue. It's a 2/3 Nightmare Hydra. It has Death Touch, and tap to add 2 mana of any one color. So, it does not reduce the cost of my Planeswalkers, but being a mana dork that also is just a Death Toucher to block with, it fit the criteria. It didn't change the CMC of my commander, because they're both 4. Oh, right, and it has some useless text at the bottom that says, whenever you cast a spell with X in its mana cost, create a 0/0 green Hydra creature token that put X +1/+1 counters on it. Yeah, that's not a way we're taking this deck. Matter of fact, I think I only added 1 X spell into the deck. So, yeah. First off, I want to talk about what came out before I talk about what went in, but before that, Yumori the Collector went from being my commander to is now in the deck. It's still there, it can still, you know, reduce costs, and it's still a good blocker. So I decided to keep it. And that's a 2, and then 2 hybrid green-black for a 4/5 ooze. It does have companion, but we're not going to worry about it, because we're not running it as a companion. And then, as it enters the battlefield, choose a card type, and spells of the chosen type cost 1 less to cast. But let's get into what came out. And I kind of want to start with the lands, just because they're going to be easy to get through. Yeah. So, in total, I ended up cutting 3... non-basics from the deck. Those are Temple of Melody, Castle Lochthwain, and Necroblossom Snarl. The main issue I have with the Temple and the Necroblossom are, well, more often than not, they're going to enter the battlefield tapped. And unfortunately, Castle Lochthwain just never seemed to be a decent card in this deck, so I decided to cut it. I also ended up cutting 7 basics, 3 of which were swamps, and 4 of which were forests. And now on the flip side, what I ended up adding was 5 non-basics, and then 5 basic islands. The non-basics include Command Tower, Sunken Hollow, Rhymewood Falls, Ice Tunnel, and Opulent Palace. You will notice that 3 of those still enter the battlefield tapped. One difference is Opulent Palace can get all 3 of my colors, and then Ice Tunnel and Rhymewood Falls and Sunken Hollow can all be fetched, so that's why they ended up in here. Now, for the rest of the stuff that came out, I'm not going to go into too much detail about because they are coming out, but they are Confront the Past, Wretched Confluence, Nissa, Nature's Artisan, Soren Markov, Garrick Relentless, Karn the Great Creator, Obnixilus the Hate Twisted, Karn Liberated, Planar Bridge, and Nissa, Voice of Zendikar. The goal to swapping out some of the stuff for more blue stuff was A, not to put counterspells in the deck. I did not put any counterspells in the deck. No, what I really wanted was essentially, well, one, that Ichor Moon Gauntlet I talked about, but more card advantage. This was the one place the deck really kind of struggled sometimes. But let's just get into what was added. First up, we are going to talk about Agrimoon Gauntlet. It's 2 and a blue for an artifact. Planeswalkers you control have 0, proliferate, and -12, take an extra turn after this one. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, choose a counter on target permanent, put an additional counter of that kind on that permanent. So, yeah, I think the biggest one there is being able to 0 something that doesn't necessarily have a good +1. Like, say we have Liliana of the Dark Realms out, and we don't necessarily want to search for more lands, or maybe we've searched for all of our swamps. We can just use her to proliferate. And then eventually, when she gets to past, you know, her emblem, and we get back up to 12, alright, we'll activate everything and then take another turn. Yeah. Now, another reason I wanted to go into blue was the fact that I could run Cyclonic Rift. I know I'm a monster, but it's 1 and a blue for an instant to return an online permanent you don't control to its owner's hand, and it has overload for 6 and a blue. It's just in line with the single-sided board wipes that this deck runs, because once you load tokens out or, you know, animate lands, just get rid of everything else and then go for the win, right? Next up in cards that make me a monster, we have Mystic Remora, which is a single blue for an enchantment. It has a cumulative upkeep of 1. Whenever an opponent successfully casts a non-creature spell, you might draw a card. That player may pay 4 to counter this effect. Yeah. And we have its best buddy, Rhystic Study. 2 and a blue for an enchantment. Whenever an opponent plays a spell, I can draw a card unless they pay 1. They just kind of go hand in hand, right? And talking about cards that people hate. Narset, Parter of Veils. 1 blue for a legendary planeswalker Narset. She comes in with 5 loyalty. But each opponent can't draw more than 1 card each turn, which is like the main reason people hate it. And the main reason I'm running it is for its -2. To look at the top 4 cards of your library, you may reveal a non-creature, non-land card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. So in this deck, you know, it's -2, look at the top 4, take a planeswalker, or take a removal spell. So it just makes sense. Now, another thing this deck does have is a lot of instants and sorceries, so I figured a Mystical Tutor would be a good addition. So it's a single blue for an instant to search your library for, in this case, an instant interrupt mana source or sorcery card. Reveal the card to all players. Shuffle your library and put the revealed card back on top of it. Gotta love old bordered, templated stuff. Right, and Blue Sun Zenith is the 1x spell we're actually adding. It's X blue. It's also the only triple blue spell we're adding. It's an instant. Target player draws X cards, and then shuffle Blue Sun Zenith into its owner's library. And now we will round this out with, well, Jace. All the Jace. Except it's not all the Jace, it's only a few of the Jace that I know I had. First up, we have Jace Vryn's Prodigy. It's 1 and a blue for a 0/2 human wizard. You can tap it to draw a card and then discard a card. If there are 5 or more cards in your graveyard, exile Jace Vryn's Prodigy. Then return it. Transform to the battlefield. And it becomes Jace Telepath Unbound. It's a 5 loyalty planeswalker. Its +1 is up to 1 target creature gets -2/-0 till your next turn. -3, you may cast target, insert a sorcery card from your graveyard this turn. If that card would be put into your graveyard this turn, exile it instead. And -9, you get an emblem with whenever you cast a spell. Target opponent puts the top 5 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. Are we going for a mill win? No. But, again, he starts at 5, so after like 4 turns, if nobody deals with it, you just get to go to town. Yeah, good times. Next up, we have Jace Memory Adept, which is 3 blue for a 4 loyalty planeswalker. It has +1 draw a card. Target player puts the top card of his or her library into his or her graveyard, and for 0, Target player puts the top 10 cards of his or her graveyard into his or her library. And for 7, any number of target players each draw 20 cards. Again, this is more here for its first ability to draw me cards. Not really leaning into the milling so much. But, yeah. Next up, we have Jace, Unraveler of Secrets. 3 blue-blue for a 5 loyalty Jace. Plus 1, scry 1, then draw a card. Negative 2 is return target creature to its owner's hand. And its negative 8 is you get an emblem with whenever an opponent casts his or her first spell each turn, counter that spell. So I guess I lied when I said I didn't put any counter spells in. But it's the ultimate on a planeswalker, so I don't really think that counts. And finally, we have Jace the Mind Sculptor. 2 blue-blue for a 3 loyalty Jace. It has a plus 2 to look at the top card of target player's library. You may put that card on the bottom of that player's library. It has a 0 to draw 3 cards and then put 2 cards from your hand on top of your library in any order. You can minus 1 to return target creature to its owner's hand. And minus 12 is exile all cards from target player's library, then that player shuffles his or her hand into his or her library. So again, not really a mill deck. Do I have ways that I could mill somebody out? Yes. But who's ever going to let Jace the Mind Sculptor get to 12 loyalty, right? For the most part, it's here to, like, Fate Seal myself or Brainstorm myself. Yeah. But that's kind of it. That's it. That's what came out and what went in, and eventually when I have the time, I will make a new version of this deck on Archidect. I'll probably keep up the old version too, and then we can compare and contrast, but right now it is so warm in this room right now. I am very exhausted just from the heat. So that said, I'm going to call it here. Thank you, and I guess I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.